and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles on pages 221 for Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over to the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is found in 1 Corinthians. It's on page 1220, and we read 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. O Lord, have mercy on us. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1035. And we read Matthew 5, beginning at verse 21. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder.' And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by the heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, where Moses speaking to Israel and to us. Says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him." This is our text. For years, every now and again, you'd read in the newspaper, sometimes even hear it on the evening news, or of late, maybe catch it on the internet, of some family that belongs to a religion more in the cult area, that somehow believes that by the firmness of their belief, any disease can be cured. The problem is they have a child that contracts some imminently curable disease, yet a disease that untreated will take their life. And instead of bringing that child in for treatment, they just keep on praying over it, chanting over it, doing whatever it is that they do, believing that miraculously their child is going to be cured. Let's pretend for a minute that you live next door to such a family. Your children interacted with their children. Or maybe they just come over and they talk to you. But you know the child well. Day after day you see that child declining. And its life is slipping away. And the parents aren't doing anything. And you realize that things are reaching the tipping point. That if something isn't done soon, that child that you know is going to die. What would you do? Would you call the police? Would you call Child Protective Services? Or just watch the child die? You know, I know you pretty good. I'm going to make a guess. You'd all make a call. You would all step in rather than watch some child that you care about needlessly dying. Let's even bring it closer to home. I've been with many of you when the doctor comes with some bad news. Maybe it's you have a cancer. Maybe you have something else. And invariably, we all like to know what our chances are. Let's say one of your family members is told, oh, great, we've caught this early. You got like a 100% chance of being cured. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's one of your children. Let's say that family member then turns to the doctor and says, I don't want to be cured. I don't want to be treated. How many of you would sit there and go, okay, your choice. Again, I think I know you pretty well. That's not what you'd do. You'd grab that family member. You'd pull them aside. You'd give them the lecture of their life. And if it didn't work that day, you'd keep at it. You'd become the most annoying person that they ever knew in their life. Because you love them and you love their life. And you wouldn't stop till they finally went in. And even if the doctor had only given 95% chance, or 90% chance, or 85% chance, or 80%, you probably still do the same thing. In fact, having been with you on many of these occasions, even when it gets down to 40 and 30 and 20% chance of things working, even though it might involve a lot of pain and suffering, even when those odds aren't that great, you still go for it. That's just the way we are about life. We cherish it. We value it. We fight for it. And not just our own, we'll fight for the lives of others. I think sometimes we forget when it comes to our relationship with God, that it's that same kind of fight. As Moses reminds us in our Old Testament reading for today, as Jesus also reminded us in talking about the penalties for sin, in our gospel lesson. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. When it comes to the relationship of ourselves with our Lord God, it is a life and death situation. And to remember that, all we really need to do, even if we forget the words of Moses, is to look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't die just to teach us what we ought to be doing and the kind of suffering that he endured on the cross was not just a suffering of the human flesh. If Jesus were just here to teach us about what we should be doing in life, would God have him endure all of that? All of that pain, all of that suffering? That'd be absurd. But again, it's not just the suffering of the human flesh that Jesus experiences on the cross, because that's not the only penalty for sin. Some of the most remarkable words that Jesus utters on the cross. The gospel writers are so intent on us, if you will, getting it, that they can't just say them in the Greek of the New Testament, which we translate into English. They got to say them and let us hear them as Christ himself actually spoke them in Aramaic. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And then they translate it for us. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment in time, Christ is not simply dying. God the Father, in a greatest mystery of all creation, is literally turning his back on God the Son. He is forsaking Jesus, withdrawing his presence in some mysterious way. Because that's what's going to happen to us if we choose death rather than life. And the reason Jesus chose death, and the reason he chose to be abandoned by God his Father, so that the Holy Spirit may enter into our hearts, creating faith, enabling us to do what Moses bids us to do in our Old Testament lesson for today, to choose life. That is the struggle we are in. And though we sin daily, and we come back here to receive that assurance of forgiveness, it is not just striving to do what God says that our life is really about. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live loving the Lord your God. See, that's ultimately what it's about. God sends his Son because he loves us. And what God seeks from us is not simply our obedience. What he's seeking from us is our love. And love reveals itself in the things that we do. And when you see certain things not happening in a person's life, guess what? Love is absent. You know, I have a dad down in Arizona, Sun City West. That way you don't have to ask me after the services. Whereabouts in Arizona? What would you say to my claim that I love him if I never picked up the phone or talked to him? If I never went down to Arizona on occasion and visited him? If I never wrote a letter? If in essence all contact between me and him were severed while he was still alive, would you say, I love him? For what it's worth, then that hasn't happened. I love him and he loves me. So I pick up the phone every couple of weeks and I give him a call, visit for maybe a half hour on the phone, send him birthday cards and Christmas cards and little presents, although he doesn't really need them. And every now and again, I jump on an airplane and I fly down to there because he can't travel too much anymore, and I go see him. Why do I do that? I love him. And I'll bet with the people that you love in your life, you do the same things. When Jesus was here, he gave us ways to remember him. The Lord's Supper. You've heard those simple words so many times. Do this to remember me. That third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God just doesn't want to be talked to in prayer. He wants you to give a chance for him to talk to you in word and in sacrament. And people who love to hear God's voice are going to want to hear God speaking to him. And when you don't see that happening in somebody's life, there's something wrong with their love. And there's something wrong with their life. You know what you'd do if you saw somebody dying needlessly. You'd find some way to act, some way to intervene. And there are people all around us each and every day that are dying. Not just a death of the flesh, although that will overtake everyone eventually, but an eternal death. And God has called us to be like Moses, to be that person in somebody's life that confronts them and makes sure they understand the clear choices that we have and the consequences of those choices. You're here today because God has called you through the gospel. You're here today because God created faith in your hearts. And you're choosing life. But there are countless thousands that surround us that are choosing death. We need to be clear in our own selves of what the stark choices truly are. But we also need to reach out in love. And to those who are choosing death, we need to point them in a new direction. We need to set before them the choices and to tell them what life really is and what Jesus has done for them and the hope that we have and the love that God offers us. That they too may have the Holy Spirit working in their hearts and hopefully to choose life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.